Welcome to Career Tools. This week, don't get tell me about yourself advice from YouTube, part two. This cast answers these questions. Why is YouTube a bad source of career advice? Just because. What should I look for when taking advice? And why are some experts not helpful to you? Believe me, that's true.
Folks, if you're on the fence about buying a personal license, I want to share with you that it now includes the interview series. And our interview series covers the entire process of interviewing, from preparation to follow-up. It's got 60-plus podcasts, 20-plus videos, and a written library of everything you need to know in incredible detail. What to do, how to do it, what to say, and how to say it. We've even included what to write and how to write it. Plus the show notes to any guidance that we've given on interviews in Manager Tools or Career Tools. So a personal license, including the interview series, we hope that it adds great value for y'all.
The next point you were going to make was you might be surprised by the level of expertise or lack thereof of the people who are giving out guidance.
Right. Because all you need to post on YouTube is a phone and an internet connection. Or, right. Or a nearby McDonald's that you can sit outside because they have Wi-Fi. So all you need is a phone.
Wow.
And in the top, tell me about yourself answers. So I went through the top 15 that were showed to me, and I looked at the experience that those people had. And less than a third had any experience in hiring.
No hiring experience. No. They've never interviewed anybody. No. There's no evidence that they interviewed anybody.
No.
Dude, seriously.
And a third of them didn't ever appear to have worked in a corporate setting or in business.
You mean like they're an entrepreneur or they were a skateboard rider?
Or they went straight there from university.
Yeah.
So that means that two-thirds of them have the same amount of experience as you do, and they're telling you how to answer that question.
Yeah, I just have to tell you, that was so good, guys, that if you don't know, if you're a licensee of our work, again, it's $200 a year, and it's our core product. If you're a licensee, you get a weekly Things I think email from me on Wednesday mornings at 6 a.m. Pacific time. And I actually included this paragraph. I think it's the only time I've actually excerpted a paragraph, one paragraph from a podcast show notes into Things I think. It was so good. Less than a third of the creators of the top Tell Me About Yourself answer videos have actually been in a position to hire in corporations. Three have some tangential experience. By the way, folks, I'm sorry. I'm reading to you from the show notes. We don't normally do that. And three have no experience at all. To be clear, two-thirds of them have about as much experience and knowledge as to how to answer this question as you do, the person who's watching. And yet they're purporting to be able to give you advice. Oh, my. Just a damning indictment. You're completely damning. Okay.
And the funny thing is, it takes a two-second YouTube or LinkedIn search, Google or LinkedIn search, to find out what someone's experience is.
Yeah, so tell us about some of the people.
So there's a guy called Anthony Stagg, and in his LinkedIn profile, it says, we help people get jobs. And so I was like, oh, he's a recruiter.
Okay,
He has some experience. Nope, he runs a job board, which, to be true, does help people get jobs, but it's not the same thing as having the experience of a recruiter.
Yeah, running a job board is a technical thing and advertising to companies, because companies are the ones that pay. Yeah, okay, good.
So there's another one that doesn't have a name, but the handle is...
The person, there's a voice, there's a face and a voice, a person talking, but they never reveal their name.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So she's called The Urban Fight, and she says, I help you fight the good fight to be financially, emotionally, and physically fit. So she doesn't even talk about careers, and even if she did, it was only a quarter of the three other topics she's apparently an expert in. So, you know, why would you want to take advice on someone who's not a specialist?
Right.
And there's a guy called Dan Locke who is, his video is beautiful, so lovely produced. He's never worked for a company. He's an entrepreneur and an investor, which is, you know, a really valid thing to be.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. But it's not the same. He has no idea what a hiring manager in a corporation wants.
Yes. Yeah.
He's never worked for anybody. And he knows what he wants for people to work for him, but working in that only helps you if you want to work for him or in that environment, which is a small niche and nothing like anything else in business.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other trick is they say they're CEO and there's and it's a one-person company.
I've been talking about this for 15 years on the podcast, the idea that, you know, people are, I get cards from people saying, yeah, we'd love to hear business and whatever. And they want to do marketing. They want to do web development. They want to do Drupal stuff. They want to do full stack stuff. And they're the CEO of a firm. And they have two employees. You don't get to call yourself a CEO unless you have a $1 billion company, guys. You could be a president. You could be a general manager. You could be the owner. You can be the founder, but you can't be CEO. But that's what people think, right? CEO. They're just shilling.
And any CEO isn't on YouTube giving you tell me about yourself advice.
Yeah.
Right? Any real CEO.
No, yeah.
They're too busy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And the other thing we see a lot is people who say they'll write your resume for you are often English grads. So they went to university for English, which is
when you say English grads, you have to understand, Wendy, in the States where we have a lot of listeners, when you say they're English grads, they might mistake because you're
grads in England.
Yes. They majored in English in college. That's exactly what Wendy means.
That's what I meant. See, that's why you're here.
Good. Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, they're good with words and sentences good vocabularies or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's a perfectly valid thing, it doesn't make them experts in resumes.
Yeah, I wouldn't want them writing my PhD dissertation, right? I mean, even if they are good with words, yeah.
So, I mean, you wouldn't give your money to someone who's never invested in the market.
Yeah.
Would you? You wouldn't, you know, if someone opened a bank in my street, you know, my little suburban street, I wouldn't go there and give them all my money. So why would you give money to someone who's never had the experience that they would need in order to be an expert?
Right.
Yeah. And a recruiter does 20 interviews a week. I mean, you and I did 6, 7, 8 a day when we were recruiters.
Yeah.
You know, even if these people have worked in corporate America and they were hiring managers, they probably only did one hire a year, so that's 5, 6 interviews a year. Even if they were in HR, they wouldn't have done as many as a recruiter.
I would even say there's something more pernicious involved here, more insidious, where they say I've been in hundreds of interviews, and what they mean is they've been interviewed, and there's an enormous difference.
Yeah,
it's literally night and day. Yeah, if somebody who's been hired 5 times, and you're going to listen to them. Or you could take advice from somebody who actually does the hiring. What am I looking for? What is he or she looking for? Okay.
It's like saying you can you know how to drive a train when all you've done is sit on it.
Yeah. Sure, it can't be that hard, right? Yeah. All right. Next point you said, YouTubers aren't talking to you.
This is my favorite one. So they're not talking to you. They're talking to the algorithm, which is why you get clickbaity titles.
I like this one too now.
Yeah. And every minute, there are 300
Wait, hold
hours.
On. Go back. I talked over you. I'm sorry. You said a clickbaity title. This is a problem for manager tools because we're bad at marketing. We're trying to do stuff about it because we don't like clickbait because we're professionals and we're not trying to confuse people. We're not trying to – we don't want to draw somebody in who doesn't mean to be drawn in. I would rather – you know, we're a bit like the justice system in the U.S., right?
The secret.
Yes.
The one trick you need to
know. We don't do the top 12 list of the top, you know, we just don't do that. Yeah.
So every minute there are 300 hours of video uploaded to YouTube.
Every minute of every day, 300 more
hours. Which means every day you get 50 years further behind in being able to watch everything.
That's so good.
That's so good. The math of that is amazing. So that means there should be incredibly tailored, perfectly just for you.
Yeah.
Videos, because there's so many, right? So there must be one exactly right for you, except there isn't. and in practice, what it means is YouTubers are competing with all of that other stuff, 300 hours a minute. And so they have to put on their title and in their thumbnail something that's grabby and palatable. You know, they can't tell you don't do this because it's stupid, because nobody will watch. They say, I have the secret.
Yes.
And they need to be seen and heard over 433,199 other hours of video posted that day. And so,
oh my gosh,
it can't be something super niche, because if it was super niche and you're the, say, there's 10 people in the world who it would apply to, that's not going to make them any money, because 10 people watching their video is nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you decide that you, in the same way that we are about podcasting, that's the reason why we should be on YouTube, is we should be treating YouTube as a free platform for us, just like podcasts. Podcasting, one of the things that people are amazed when we tell them how many downloads we've had. And the reason why it amazes them is because we don't take advertising. And so we don't fit into the marketing concept of podcasting, that you want to attract ears so you can sell ads to those ears. We tried that for a while and we found it to be slippery, and we didn't care for it. We're trying to help managers and professionals all over the world. That's why this podcast is free, guys. Well, we can use YouTube the same way. We can put up free videos, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't care about the algorithm.
Nope.
I literally don't care. I'm not gonna talk to an algorithm, as you say. It's not smart enough to keep up with the concepts that we're talking about.
And frankly, and we'll never get
we
monetized.
Don't want to help the algorithm. I don't care about getting monetized.
Yeah, exactly.
I care about helping people. Yeah.
So that's why there's common sense advice, because it's what you want to hear. Like, nobody wants to hear something difficult. You know, they want to be something they're already nervous about. What they really want to hear is,
you don't need to rehearse.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm not going to make this hard for you. You don't need to worry about it. We're just going to tell you it's fine. Just have a chat.
Yeah. Yeah. And feel free, if you feel strongly about it, to ask if I can just, you know, this is not going the way I want. Let me tell you what I'm, you know, or hey, give me some more insight about the company before I decide how I'm going to answer that and so on. Like, yeah, no, that'd be funny. We should do a hidden camera video of really bad interview behaviors.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Mean, but fun. Yeah. There's another one that says, give a snapshot of your work history. Okay. What's a snapshot? Like, which work history? Like, how? It sounds good in the moment. And then when you start to think about, okay, how am I going to implement that? What would that mean for me? What's my answer going to be?
When you say another video says give a snapshot of your work history, that's their guidance.
Yes, that's their answer.
It's not here's the concept, give a snapshot. They're telling you, their belief is that you're watching that video for their knowledge, and their knowledge can be distilled down, at least in part, into give a snapshot of your work history. That's not actionable. It's not specific. It's not professional. It's a scam. Yeah. I don't want to meet these people.
What level of information should I give? Should I describe the company and the titles and the responsibilities and the accomplishments? How much detail should I give? How long should my answer be?
I'm going to need a shower when we're done with this. Just even talking about these people is bad for me.
Yeah. And another thing is that the advice that you follow has to actually fit your circumstances. Advice that you want to follow has to be specific for you, in that it has to be somebody who's talking about the subset of the world that you're in. So, for example, one video says, best answers for freshers and experienced people. But you can't be both. A fresher is somebody in the first year of university in the UK, and somebody who's experienced is, you know, got 5 years of work experience. The answer to tell me about yourself for those two people is different. It can't possibly be in
fundamentally different
a single answer. And so if they're trying to cover the waterfront like that, they're not
essentially
helping you.
Diluting their we already decided they're not helping you. This is all just lipstick on a pig, or we're actually gilding the lily in the opposite way. I wonder what the opposite of gilding the lily is. Making something already beautiful. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
And then another third of those top 10 ones that have been watched a lot are for the Indian, they're written by and for the Indian subcontinent. So
yeah, cool.
You know, when you listen to them, the English is not the same as British English or American English. It's Indian English. Like, for example, one person says, this is how you say, I'm from a city. And she says, I belong to New York.
Yeah.
Which in American English or English English isn't correct. And so you're watching that, and maybe you think that she's standing in front of a whiteboard. She has a pen. She must be
Yeah, correct. Look at her go. Look at her go. Yeah.
And she also says, she talks about going into a room, handing over your resume and telling the person your name, which is what happens for kind of open call interviews, which hardly ever happen in the UK or in Europe in the States. In the US.
Yeah.
So this is where it's kind of like auditions, those music shows where people compete to sing and you see at the beginning of it, it's like an open audition and everybody comes. There are interviews for jobs that are done like that, rarely, but more often in India and other places in Asia. And the advice that she gives for that is okay, but that's not the situation that most of the people watching YouTube are in.
Yeah. If you're going to have a video that you're going to try to teach people English with, and people have licensed our work because of the business piece of it, then you obviously have to talk about something, but we just wish they wouldn't talk about interviewing, which they clearly know nothing about. That's the problem. People think that they're learning interviewing, but they're not. They're trying to teach them English. Yeah. What about the new graduates? You told me something about new graduates.
So there's a real difference in being a new graduate and answering, telling me about yourself because you haven't got any work experience. So you talk about more extracurricular things. You talk about the choices
experience
that you made in school and stuff and so on. And if you've been working for a year or two, that better not be your answer because you better be able to talk about experience at work.
Right.
Because if in those 2 years,
hold on. I don't want somebody to draw the wrong conclusion, Wendy. Doesn't matter what we think, doesn't matter what we say, doesn't matter what other people hear, it matters what they think they heard. So I don't think what you're telling them, though, is after 2 years of work experience, you should never again mention anything before school.
No.
Okay, good. All right, be clear.
Yeah. For over a graduate, time, that's your the job, only thing
yes,
that you can
right.
talk about.
In later. The beginning, when you're a graduate, all you talk about is what got you there. But as you add more and more experience, you spend less and less time talking about school.
So if you aren't at the graduate stage, then this video isn't helpful to you. But it has 7 million views. And so it's right there up there in the top 10. And you might think, oh, well, then I have to go in and tell everybody about cheerleading, which you shouldn't if you're an investment banker with 5 years of experience.
Yes, exactly.
It's just wrong. Yeah, and the other one was the investor influencer.
I think that's literally the most inane job title in the history of the universe. I mean, you're like a Kardashian or something, right?
Exactly. And they don't interview. Why would you take interviewing advice from an influencer who's never had a real job and never interviewed anybody?
Yeah.
Continuing our theme of great news about personal licenses and their value, I'm really excited to share that a personal license now also includes our resume workbook. The workbook is a great resource for anyone who's working to update their resume, either in the course of your normal updates or as part of your job search. The workbook includes all of our detailed resume guidance in just one place. You don't need someone else to help you create, edit, or update your resume. You can just follow the guide. Just so you know, it's 17 pages long, so there's a lot of information and help there. We hope it's valuable.
All right, good. So next, you say, don't follow it worked for me advice.
So this is our final one. The final video we looked at is based on a single content creator's advice. So his name is Dennis Sazzle, and in theory, it should be a good video because he's a former project manager at PwC. He had experience hiring.
Okay. We're starting to get, okay, good. Like, although you don't say, you and I are pretty particular about stuff like this, writing show notes. You don't say, he says he has experience hiring. There's a big difference between what you and I did and maybe what he did. He might have done as much as us. He might have been a hiring manager and done hundreds of interviews, but he doesn't say how much.
No, he doesn't.
You almost can't be an experienced individual unless you're antisocial and not have, quote unquote, some experience hiring. You don't even have to be a manager to have been an interviewer if your manager knows what she's doing and
Yeah, I mean, you could have hired interns You know, that's often given to somebody who isn't a manager, but it's not hiring. So far, so good. And then he says, the person says, tell me about yourself. And this is what you should answer. Can I show you? I have prepared a short presentation.
What?
And get out a PowerPoint deck.
What? Yes. What? Yes. What? And oh my gosh.
They will definitely say yes.
Oh my gosh.
Which is true. They will say yes, but in their head, they're saying, yes, but I'm not hiring you.
All done.
Yeah,
that's like the person, I get this question once a year. Mark, it's not, I don't have your interviewing series. Just answer one question for me. Can I take notes during an interview? I'm sorry, what? What do you mean? You know, I want to be able to write down some questions they ask, and I want to think about my answer. So can I write down notes? And I said, no. And they say, why not? And I said, just the fact that you asked that question proves that I shouldn't have to prove to you, why not? Then the thing, okay, all right, I get that. But can I have pre-written answers? No. Okay. What about, okay, I kind of thought you'd say no. What about, I tend to forget the questions I've prepared when I go in late in the interview when I get a chance to ask questions. Can I have my questions written out? No. Why not? And finally, I've got to the point, I said, because I said so. I mean, you're the one asking me, so I'm just telling you, no, you have to memorize them. And no offense, but if you're 25 years old and you can't memorize three questions that'll last you for 45 minutes, okay.
You got other problems.
That's an issue. That's an issue. Yeah. Sorry.
So the problem with this guy is that his guidance is based on him working at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and when they go to a client, part of what you bring to a client is pitches. Yeah, it's I did this and we've done this for other clients and that's why you should hire us. And he says, I know I would say yes and I would be very impressed. Right, which is only useful for you if you're interviewing with him, because that's not universal experience. And that's the problem with taking it worked for me advice, meaning it worked for one person or it works with one person based on their experience.
Interesting you highlighted this one, because I've been telling people recently about executive tools and a bit about our history and how what I did years ago in my previous company helped lay the groundwork for this. And I say, do you know, when people talk, when people say, I read this book and it was a good book, I liked it, but it didn't learn anything. I said, yeah, you're reading an old-fashioned management book that was written by somebody who's achieved high levels of success, and they're telling you their story. And they're implying, by writing the book, monetizing themselves, at least in part, they're implying that it will work for you. And I can only tell you that I've actually talked to a few of those guys, and they always say, when I say, you know, God, I don't think that'll work. Oh, Mark, I wouldn't want people drawing a conclusion that that would work for them. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, that's the fundamental premise.
That's exactly why people are buying books.
Right. Yeah. And unfortunately, that's a standard. And it's an accepted standard in part because of book publishing. That's why so many management books are so bad. So, yeah, it's the same thing.
What do you say about we don't teach what you do. You do what we teach.
Oh, yeah. What I tell people when I say, I talk about my experience with one-on-ones to sort of when I'm teaching one-on-ones, which is probably, it's probably my favorite thing to teach, because it's the thing that I think if we could teach every manager in the world to do it, all I want is a penny and I'll be a billionaire and I can retire, because we will have done more for the management world than anybody else other than Peter Drucker. And, but what I say is, let's be clear, guys, when I talk to you about my experience as a manager, managing people, using our tools, Manager Tools doesn't teach what I do. I do what we teach, because if I did something and then taught you that, that would be me falling prey to the very same thing that if you had read 5,000 management books in your life like I have and spent 30 years of your life training people on management, you would realize you just can't do that. It's not ethical. It's not right. It's not right. One of the reasons Mike was one of my favorite clients, my business partner, Mike, who you hear on Manager Tools with me, the reason why he's my partner now and why he was my all-time favorite client was because of how clear we were about what the right thing to do was. It wasn't even a question. And a big part of that went back to school, obviously, at the academy. But it would be wrong to teach what I do, to extrapolate, to use this PwC guy's idea. It's accepted, and we believe it's wrong. Maybe we're old-fashioned. Call me old-fashioned. I'm okay with that right to my grave. I have no problem with that. You can put it on my gravestone, because, again, I'll console myself being right. I don't know how people sleep at night sometimes with what they're doing, these YouTube people particularly. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's teaching what he knows, and it just doesn't apply universally. Which,
yeah.
Just to be clear, there are some roles like graphic design and
sure, where you would have a portfolio.
Where you have a portfolio, and that's sure. not what we're that's not what he's saying, and that's not what we're saying either. Okay. Yeah. And most hiring managers, people have done it to me. They've said, "Oh, can I show you this presentation?" And I say yes. And
yeah, because at that moment the interview's over. They don't care what happens. They don't care. I'm done. Actually, we're 12 minutes in or 13 minutes in. Okay, this interview's over. I get a little break here. Exactly. Go ahead.
I don't have do to your pay little any dog and pony show.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. Now you might say, "Well, they should say no and end the interview." Yeah, you should have prepared better too. But we're both on the same side of that fence.
And you know, the interview is for the hiring manager to get their questions answered, not for you to tell them what you want them to know.
Exactly.
It's a whole different paradigm.
It's a whole different paradigm. And it's not about you. It really isn't. It's about the hiring manager and the company. Okay, so summarize for us.
The summary is YouTube is a terrible place for career advice.
It is.
And if there are good, helpful videos out there, I couldn't find them. And I'm pretty good at finding things. They're certainly not in the top. Yeah, she is too. Guys,
you should know. I need somebody found. Something found out, I asked Wendy.
They are not in the top 100 search results. And it's true of books and TVs and shows and websites and even podcasts. But the answer is, what we've told you is some stuff about YouTube, but also some stuff about this is how to assess information. And you have to ask yourself, is what I'm being told being manipulated because of a reward system? Does this person have the experience?
Because the vast majority of your purchase decisions, of your relationships, are based on a two-way relationship. You know what you're buying from them, and they know what they're getting from you. It's money for goods, money for services. The moment you put that third party in there, but these people don't admit there's a third party. And they want you to believe that they're taking care of you. They're going to give you what you want, but they don't.
And then, does this person have experience? Are they speaking to a group like you? And if it passes the test, then listen and implement the guidance and see what happens and test it. Like, does it work for you? I mean, if we gave you, you know, even if somebody is the right person, is giving good advice, has their heart in the right place, has their financial has their wallet in the right place, it could still be that whatever they tell you doesn't work for you. So what we want you to do is be critical of the advice that you're taking, even ours, and be critical of the results and decide whether or not it's working for you.
And if you come across a video out there about management or about your career and you want some validation, you know, send Wendy a link. She'll look at it for you.
I will. I will, for sure.
Good. Well,
thanks, Mark. It was fun.
Oh, that was a delight. Oh, I probably talked too much, but I don't care. It was fun. I love skewering folks that are trying to hide these kinds of, it's not illicit exactly, but it's close. It's not unlawful or illicit. It's just not right.
That's, scummy.
You know, yeah, it's just not right. It's not the right thing to do. That's it, folks. I asked to be involved in this one. It was great fun. I hope you enjoyed it. See you next week on Career Tools.
Bye, everyone.